Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Well, joining us now for some analysis on this and the other big stories of the week is political reporter for the Boston Phoenix, David Bernstein. Welcome back to Radio Boston, David.
Glad to be back. Thank you.
Also with us is Rob Eno. He's the publisher of the conservative blog RedMassGroup.com. Welcome to you, Rob. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, let's start with yesterday's FBI raids. I mean, we heard that, you know, the two men from the Boston area having been arrested, so far only charged on immigration violations. Rob, let me just turn to you really quickly and say, what do you make of yesterday's story?
You know, the Hawala system is very interesting. I actually looked it up a little bit today before I came on. And, you know, we don't know if those people had anything to do with it, as they said. But, you know, they were here overstaying their visa. And I think one of the interesting things that came out of this over the past week is that Jeff Perry amendment that was defeated last week, one of the things that it would have done is required an immigration check at the point of getting a professional licensure. So this person who was here overstayed his visa, was legal when he came, but was here, depending on when he got that license, walked into a police station, possibly was illegal or was here illegally, had overstayed the visa, and was able to get a piece of paper from a police station to work in the United States, so, which is an interesting point.
Just a couple points of clarification for listeners who might not. Representative Jeff Perry is who you're mentioning.
Correct.
And he had floated a budget amendment to have these proofs of residency having to be shown for various state services.
Right.
We also, as far as I understand, we also don't really know when one of the men who was arrested, when his immigration status lapsed.
Exactly.
Well.
We don't know when that happened, but the possibility was there that, you know, if he is involved in terrorism, we don't know whether or not he isn't. He could have been caught at a point if this amendment was in. So it's both a saving money thing, but it's also, very interestingly, could be a law enforcement tool.
Mm-hmm. David, I'm going to get to you in a second, but I want to give a shout out to our listeners because we want to hear your thoughts as well on any story that stirred you this week. This one about the two arrests in the Boston area, or maybe the ups and downs of the governor's race, or that 19% pay increase for Boston firefighters, which we're definitely going to talk about today. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or join us online at wbur.org/Boston. So, David, your thoughts on the arrests?
Well, I think that, we had a botched attempt by a guy who clearly didn't really know what he was doing. It's interesting to see the attempts to make a lot out of this. You know, did something slip through the FBI's fingers? Did something, were we not watching this, you know, this system of payment? The truth is that there was no reason to be worried about this in a sense, because, you know, what's the worst that could happen? The guy was buying non-explosive fertilizer and little, you know, pop caps and stuff. So I mean, there's no question you have to take these things seriously and track them down. But to a certain extent, it shouldn't be something that we get scared about, I think.
Well, let me ask you, do you buy Rob's assertion that the Perry Amendment or something like that, if it had passed, it would have tightened the sieve here in Massachusetts?
Well, that's hard to say. It possibly might have. I think that one of the problems with trying to go after immigrants en masse is that you're casting a very wide net and not tracking very specifically the types of people doing the types of things or making the kinds of connections or the kinds of associations that you really want to spend your time focusing on. You could end up clogging the system with a lot of people going through that process of proving their, you know, having to be deported or proving their ability to stay and that sort of thing.
Rob.
On what David just said about, you know, maybe we shouldn't have been that afraid and it was a little thing. There have been reports that he did train in a terrorist training camp in Pakistan. And there's also, I actually heard an interesting thing, I forget where today, but the propane tanks that are used in the United States, if you put them in now, you need to have a little valve that if it's connected, the gas can go out. Now, we don't know if in Pakistan that's the case, if that's part of the law, or if you can just open up the thing and it fills up the car with the thing. So he may not have known that when he came to the United States, and if he was training in Pakistan, used a non-fail-safe propane tank, and then, you know, it was not knowing our technology could have been it, too.
So quite a few unanswered questions still, obviously, in the investigation and the case itself. Stay with us, Rob Eno of RedMassGroup.com and David Bernstein of the Boston Phoenix. We've got a lot more to talk about because it was a big week in the news this week. So listeners, we want your thoughts as well. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. A little later this hour, WBUR's David Boeri will join us on how the recent murder of 14-year-old Juwan Martin pulled him back in time to the murder of another Boston youngster. But right now, we're talking about this week in Boston news, and I'm joined by David Bernstein. He's political reporter for the Boston Phoenix, and Rob Eno. He's publisher of the blog RedMassGroup.com. And we right before the break, we were talking about the terrorism, well, the arrests made yesterday in connection with the New York Times Square bombing. And Rob, you had actually mentioned the Perry Amendment, which helps us turn very wonderfully to a series of conversations we had this week with the gubernatorial candidates here in Massachusetts. We spoke with Governor Deval Patrick, Treasurer Tim Cahill, and Republican Charlie Baker. He also brought up the Perry Amendment. So let's hear what he had to say.
I don't think it's appropriate for people who are citizens of Massachusetts to be waiting in line when folks who aren't citizens of Massachusetts access benefits. And this would be a pretty easy way. And you don't have to pick all services at once. You could pick one, two, or three services and start there and treat it as a demonstration. But, I mean, this is an idea that's been around now for 2 or 3 years. It keeps getting kicked to study. Nobody does the study. At a minimum, I think we ought to try it and just see what comes of it.
And Rob Eno of RedMassGroup.com, I mean, basically what Charlie Baker then went on to say is one of the reasons we have to try it is because in the long run it would help save the state, he says, save the state money because we wouldn't be giving services to as many people who were applying for them. So that seems to be something that you would agree with.
Yeah, that's something I would agree with. I mean, if you're here and you're not here legally and, you know, you may be paying taxes, you may not be paying taxes, I don't think you should be getting the services that people that are here legally, not necessarily citizens, my mother was an immigrant and she became a citizen later in life, would get. You know, there's something to be said for you should, if you have a right to a service, you should have the right to the service. And I don't think that people that are here, you know, illegally or undocumented or however you want to call it, should be getting those services. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the reasons why Baker mentioned it is that he also then went on to charge that Governor Deval Patrick had made state budget was even worse. So we were talking about economic issues in Massachusetts, of course, because they are amongst the most important at the moment. And so Baker said that Governor Patrick had made state budget worse in his first days as governor because he had restored $300 million or so of state services that had been cut by the outgoing governor, Mitt Romney. When we talked to Governor Deval Patrick about that, I asked him about the charge that Charlie Baker had made.
You know what? You better be thinking about the human faces and the lives and the best or only chance behind every one of those line items. We have delivered balanced budgets consistently. We did not begin to use the rainy day fund to balance the budget until it started raining, and it has been raining hard.
David Bernstein of the Phoenix, there's obviously all this talk about the budget and the governor's race, the governor's election, I should say, is still 6 months away. We've seen a big bounce in the polls recently, a big shift. So what's your sense as to where we are in the race right now? Is the economy still the number one issue for people?
Well, the economy is going to be the number one thing because the better people feel about the economy, the better they feel about the governor. And if people are feeling good about the governor, you know, this is first and foremost a referendum on the governor. And I think that, you know, the economy is improving. The recovery does seem to be much stronger than people, including myself, had anticipated. And Massachusetts is leading the way. And that's slowly, you know, starting to creep into, you start seeing in terms of the consumer confidence numbers, consumer spending, and the way that people are viewing incumbents like Deval Patrick, which may be part of why you saw a little bump in his polls. I don't think that this argument of Baker's, you know, he certainly needs to make this argument that he will be a better steward of the purse than Deval Patrick. But I think that he needs to do it in ways, and certainly, you know, going after services that may be going to illegal immigrants is a very popular thing that, you know, you can't fault him for going there. That's where the votes are. But I think that he really has to find a way to make more specific criticisms of what Deval has done that have had more direct impact on people's lives and, you know, and so forth than just these sort of random things about the budget.
You know, suddenly occurs to me that maybe a theme for this week's news is follow the money, because we had the Hawala system with the Boston arrest yesterday. We're talking about the budget now. And then, of course, right here in Boston, there's the big money issue about that firefighter union contract, that 19%, it depends on who you talk to, but pay raise that an arbitrator recently awarded firefighters. Mayor Tom Menino has said very vociferously that he does not have the money in the state budget to pay for this this contracted raise. Yesterday, we actually spoke with Ed Kelly, the head of the firefighters union. He definitely took exception to the mayor's assertion.
I think the mayor is not telling the truth. The facts of the matter is this city's taxable property value has more than doubled in the last 10 years. This city is doing very well financially.
This is something that resonated a lot with callers, and it looks like it's resonated with one more. Arisen is calling from Winthrop. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi.
Hi. What's your thought today?
My thought on the topic was when people would call in and say, well, it's not necessarily correct and right to get a raise because you get drug tested. And the guy didn't talk about the rightness of that. He said, well, the other unions, the ambulance and whatever other unions, well, they get raises and they get compensated for that. So it's not fair. And I don't know, maybe the firefighters need a raise for some reason. I think $75,000 a year is actually a perfectly fine salary, but maybe they need a raise. But the whole notion of, well, it's not fair that they get it is a ridiculous argument, because that's the it goes against the two wrongs don't make a right.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for your call. David Bernstein, you wrote about this extensively in the Phoenix this week. You know, she's saying, the caller's saying that, hey, two wrongs don't make a right. And but also the question is, do we even like have the money to pay for this wrongs and rights?
Yeah, the problem, the fundamental problem here is there is money to pay for this. In fact, there's money put aside to pay for this contract. The real problem is that what this sets as a standard going forward, every other contract that the city has with its municipal unions is up for negotiation starting almost immediately. And so anything that happens with the firefighters becomes part of the base for what the others will want. And it's going to become more and more and more expensive down the line.
But you wrote this week that it seems like the city actually does have money and squirreled away in places that could cover this contract.
Well, and that's the thing, is that there is money that the city has. And the city, you know, the mayor should get a lot of credit for being a very good steward of the city's money. But as I wrote, there is a lot of money socked away. There is money already set aside to pay for this contract. And, you know, and this is, frankly, the award is not significantly different than what the mayor expected when he went into arbitration. So the cries that he's making now, I'm sympathetic to the argument that we maybe shouldn't be paying the firefighters more. But the mayor doesn't have much of an argument here, I think.
Rob, you know, of Red Mass Group, what do you make of this sort of locking horns for years now between the mayor and the firefighters union?
I think it's interesting. I think, you know, and what's really interesting is it is 5 years, and I was shocked to find out that they actually get a retroactive paycheck once this thing goes in. So it's my understanding that this is a 5 year back. It's not for the next 5 years. So you get your raises for all the years that you didn't get raises, which is kind of interesting and I guess a nice bonus.
And then they also have to renegotiate the contract again
for
going
next year.
Forward. Yeah,
exactly. For next year. I mean, this is all going back. So I would hope that the mayor was putting money away for a raise. But it's, you know, what's interesting to me is that the fact that, you know, you have to get, whether or not you believe in legalization of drugs or whatever you believe, I think we can all agree that firefighters shouldn't be taking drugs and alcohol while they're on the job. And I think that that's a minimum thing that we could test people for their drug or alcohol use if they're going to go into a burning building. So I was shocked at the pushback. But then, it goes to you know, public employee unions do are able to push back on things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the minute or so that we've got left, I actually want to just turn the tables a little bit and reintroduce our new feature that we're calling our Friday Hubbub. It's the one story of the week that piqued your interest but maybe didn't rise to the level of headline-making news. So, Rob, let me start with you. What's your Friday Hubbub?
My Friday Hubbub is something that appeared in the New York Times yesterday that was a little shocking. Nikki Tsongas, the 5th Congressional District Congresswoman out of Lowell, actually told the New York Times that she was not sure if the president coming to her district would actually help her get reelection in a district that 57% went for Scott Brown. She said, "I have great respect for our president, and I can't say one way or the other would it hurt my campaign. We'll cross that bridge when the time comes." That's a pretty shocking revelation from a sitting congresswoman.
But maybe not so shocking because it didn't give Martha Coakley the bounce that she needed.
Exactly.
David Bernstein, your hubbub.
Yeah, I was very interested in the reaction, some of the reaction to the nomination of Dean Kagan from Harvard Law School.
Elena Kagan.
Elena Kagan to be the next Supreme Court justice. And one of the things that some of the critics have been saying about her is that she's lived in sort of these rarefied areas, such as Hyde Square in Chicago and Harvard Square in Cambridge, where you don't learn how ordinary people live, and I actually had to sort of, you know, that was what a lot of the Republicans were saying, and I have to actually kind of agree that there are not a lot of ordinary people in Harvard Square, but I'm not sure that that's it. You really do get quite a cross section though. If you understand the people who live in Harvard Square, you pretty much understand America, I think.
Well, good. I was just going to say that my hubbub is risking lowering the tone, but you did it for us, David Bernstein, because my story for this week is if you don't already have a subscription to Plastic Surgery News, maybe you ought to get one, because the one of the latest editions actually has an ad in it that features four photographs of Whitey Bulger's girlfriend, because she has had quite a bit of plastic surgery over the years, Catherine Grieg, and the ad says, "Have you treated this woman?" So she's had stuff done on her face, maybe a little work done on her chest, and it looks like the FBI's latest tactic in trying to find Whitey is going to see if his girlfriend has come under the knife recently. So that's a little Friday hubbub from me and from our guest, David Bernstein. He's political reporter for the Boston Phoenix. David, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, anytime.
And Rob Eno, he's publisher of the blog redmassgroup.com. Rob, thank you for being with us.
It was a pleasure.
Listeners, you can continue the conversation online at wbur.org/Boston or follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Radio Boston.